Ezekiel 15, page 154, the parable of the useless vine. Ezekiel is moved to speak the word of the Lord once more, and in this prophecy is given a parable which is to form the basis for yet another message of judgment. In the Hebrew, the parable is actually a poem to which the exiles would no doubt listen entranced, as Ezekiel predicted the impending destruction of Jerusalem. Ezekiel is invited in this section to consider a vine. He's asked, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or the branch which is among the trees of the forest? He's further asked, could the wood of the vine be used as the wood of other trees is used, that is, for construction, art, or decoration? Could it be used indeed to make such an insignificant article as a pin? The large wooden peg found in Eastern homes upon which the household utensils were hung. In connection with the pin, compare Isaiah 22:23. Of course, the answer to these questions was that the vine was of no use for either of these purposes. Its strength and texture were altogether unsuitable. In verse 4, the prophet is bidden to consider a piece of the vine, this same vine which is no good for work, not even suitable for making a pin, when it is thrown into the fire. As a result, both the ends of this vine are burned, the middle of it is charred, and the prophet is invited to look at this charred piece of wood, and the question is asked, is it meet for any work? The answer comes, behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work when the fire is devoured and it is burned? That is the parable. And the interpretation follows. And we can enlarge on it from other scriptures and take the exhortation to ourselves. Israel is the vine. Frequent figure in the prophetic scriptures, speaking of the exodus of Israel from Egypt, the psalmist says, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it, thou preparedst room before it and didst cause it to take deep root and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. This is Psalm 80, and it says note verses 11 to 16, where we read of the branch being cut down and burned with fire, as in Ezekiel. Isaiah also gives a parable concerning God's vine and his vineyard, and the parable commences, it's in chapter 5, my well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And the parable proceeds to speak of the breaking down of the wall of the vineyard and the treading down of the vine, and in the interpretation which follows it is stated, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. Jeremiah likewise speaks of Israel as a vine. Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? And again in Hosea, speaking of Israel, Israel is an empty vine, he bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Thus, repeatedly in the scriptures, we see Israel spoken of as the vine which God planted. It had degenerated into a strange vine that now failed to bring forth fruit unto him. Note this implication in Ezekiel 15. What is the vine tree more than any tree or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? we see that the vine in question is a wild vine, because it is being compared with the trees of the forest. And here is the point of Ezekiel's parable. Vines are not grown for their wood. They are grown for their fruit, and for that alone. It was the lack of fruit on God's vine that demanded he visit it with judgment. When Jeremiah speaks of this fruitless state, "When I would gather them," says the Lord, "there are no grapes on the vine tree. Even the leaves are withered. What I gave them is passed away from them." Israel became a degenerate plant, a wild vine, upon which there was found no fruit, only wood. And the wood of the vine was good for nothing. This was especially true of the Israel vine, for this was not simply a vine that failed to bring forth fruit. It was a vine that had failed to bring forth fruit and whose branches had already been cast into the fire. And this is seen in the RV margin on verse 6, where the most probable reading is, "As the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so have I given the inhabitants of Jerusalem." There had already been two invasions of the land by Nebuchadnezzar during the reigns of Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin. Israel in the land under Zedekiah was a dead vine. Already it was partially burned by the fire of Yahweh's judgments. What possible use could this charred remnant of this vine be? And so, following the RV margin, "I will set my face against them. They have gone forth from the fire, but the fire shall devour them, and I will make the land desolate, because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God." This description of Israel as having committed a trespass is the way in which the adulteress is portrayed in Numbers 5. And this forms a link with chapter 16, where the nation that had committed a trespass in chapter 15 is presented as God's unfaithful wife. The connection between the prophecy of chapter 14 and the parable in chapter 15 is very close. In chapter 14, Israel was shown that only personal righteousness would deliver from Yahweh's judgment. Here, in the parable, they are shown that because, as a nation, they had not produced these fruits of righteousness, they were to receive judgment at God's hand. As with the prophecy, so with the parable, which was written for our learning. In John 15, there is undoubtedly a reference to the 80th Psalm. In Psalm 80, as we have noted, Yahweh brought the vine out of Egypt, but it became a degenerate plant, and because of this was burned with fire. And concerning this vine, which Yahweh had burned, the psalmist prays, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself." Jesus was this man of God's right hand. In him God made a new beginning. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. In this verse, Jesus speaks of himself not as an individual, but as the new Israel vine. In the grace of God, we have been called to be branches on this true vine. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, that is severed from me, authorized version margin, without me ye can do nothing. The purpose of the vine, as we have already seen, is to bear fruit. And so the Lord declares, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. And here there is a footnote. It is ironic that at the time when the true vine was in their midst, and they so decisively rejected him, showing themselves to be a fruitless and degenerate vine, a huge golden vine laden with grapes decorated the gateway of Herod's temple, according to Josephus. And so again we see that the emphasis is on personal righteousness, the bringing forth of fruit. The branches of the true vine are obligated to bring forth fruit. And the apostle says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It is a wonderful position to which we have been called, and we are exhorted to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. And how must we do this? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, uses a different figure. He speaks of Israel as the olive tree. Some of the branches of this olive tree were broken off, and we, wild by nature, have been grafted into the Israel olive tree, but we rejoice. When the apostle looks to the future and says, concerning the branches that have been broken off, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, but God is able to graft them in again. As we contemplate the situation in Ezekiel's day, and as we consider the judgments which have fallen upon that nation from that day to this, we can say with the psalmist concerning the vine of Israel, it is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. But the time will soon be here when this dead vine will be quickened, and Israel will call upon God's name. Then the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things.